Thank you so much for the kind introduction. See the volume higher a bit. Okay, good. Very good morning to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Once again, I'm back here. Today's Dhamma topic is something that I would like to share with all of you. The title of the talk is Importance and Great Benefits of Cultivating the Buddha Dhamma. This message, I felt, has not been clearly passed on to Buddhist devotees and also to all of you all, brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. You see, to be worthy of the Buddha, to call ourselves a true Buddhist disciple of the Buddha, we need to at least heed his advice to develop understanding of his teaching, which we call the Dhamma. That's why cultivating the Buddha Dhamma is to heed his advice, to develop the understanding of his teaching. And this is very important, because without this understanding, if you live in this world, you will have to confront many, many things in life which the Buddha very clearly explained under his essential Dhamma or essence of his teaching. He called it the Four Noble Truths. And the first Noble Truth he proclaimed very clearly, he said, the realities of life and existence in this world, he said, if you live long enough, each and every living being, you need to confront this reality. And if you do not have the Dhamma understanding, you will be afflicted, you will suffer, you will become miserable. And the realities of life and existence are, there are eight, the Buddha said. The first four, we heard of it very often. But most Chinese, being conservative, and because of your cultural exposure, you are very, very reluctant to go into the first four reality, the truth of it. The Buddha called it birth, old age, sickness, and death. Each and every living being, we will have to confront them sooner or later. Birth of a newborn baby, your child, your brothers and sisters, or even your grandchildren. Then as we grew up, we will go through the various phases of getting old. And when condition is such, you may fall sick. Then finally, of course, there is a certainty that death will happen. It will occur. And it can be very traumatic when confronted with separation or death of a loved one, or facing your own, what they call, imminent death. Then even getting old nowadays, the effect of old age leading to all the sickness, they are very, very real and very traumatic though. So this fall, you like it or not, when you confront them, if you don't have the understanding and the wisdom, there's a lot of mental agony, mental fear, mental suffering, worry, anxiety. So this is the reality that the Buddha talked about. If you don't develop the understanding of his teaching, chances are you will be afflicted, you will become miserable. Then there is so much suffering that comes with it. Then the fifth is when you are with, the fifth one is when there is separation from your loved ones, from whatever wealth, possession, or things that you hold on to dearly, which you believe belongs to you. And separation can happen in many ways in our modern society. The first very obvious one is, of course, through premature death. It could be accident, nature's calamities like tsunami, flood, earthquake, and even at times war. Then sometimes for no reason the plane went missing or got shot down. Then kidnap, snatch thief, many of these can lead to death and separation. Then there is also this relationship type of separation. When the relationship doesn't work out, separation can occur because the spouse or the married couple, they want to have a separation, which they call divorce in our modern term. Sometimes when you are not married, you are not free from this reality too. Relationship between boyfriend and girlfriend or somebody you love very much, your loved ones, because of misunderstanding, it can lead to separation through anger, hatred and all those things, or envy and jealousy. Then there is forced separation. Then during economic crisis, when you make the wrong decision in life, when the economic crisis set in, a lot of things become different. Whatever you own, they can just overnight disappear. During war, it's the same. Like the Iraq-Kuwaiti war, overnight the Kuwaiti government lost everything. The people also lost everything. But luckily, because later on, the United States, together with some European Union country, they decided to get the United Nations to actually rule on this, and they went in and helped the Kuwaiti government to regain back their sovereignty. Then that's how they regained back their country's sovereignty and wealth. Otherwise, it's gone. Then the sixth reality is, the Buddha said, when you are with people whom you don't like. And this reality is also very harsh, very difficult to confront. And nowadays there are many of such reality. Even our children at school, some of you may experience it. The bullies, the extortioner and all those things. Then sometimes you live in an environment where you have to confront situation like child abuse. Then you have to confront your step-parents or step-mother or step-mother or your mother-in-law and all those things. The Buddha said, when you are with people whom you don't like, even in the career field, sometimes your bosses and superior, they are not so kind, not so caring and understanding. They have this attitude of profit. Their concern is bottom line. So they have severe style of management technique which are not so friendly. Management by harassment and fear. They put fear in you and they harass you because they know you're scared you will lose your job. So all this can create a lot of suffering and stress within the work environment too. So this reality can be very harsh if you are the victim. Then the seventh one is when you cannot get what you want, when your expectations in life are not met. This can bring about unhappiness, jealousy and envy, negative mental states, and it can lead to suicidal tendency or depression. You expect to be promoted, but somebody else get it. You expect your loved ones or your good friend to understand you, you and your parent, your brother and sister, but you didn't see it for coming. Then you expect your friends, your close friend, not to cheat you, not to deceive you, not to play you out. But the harsh reality, when you come to realize them, it can be very traumatic. Then final summary, the Buddha said, all living beings who don't have his Dhamma understanding, you will fall into this reality. He summarized all of suffering. He said, in short, it is due to living beings' delusion, self-delusion, sakkariti, that perceive this human body and mind as real, as what you are. You believe there is a personality within, there is a person within that you can identify with. You can hold on to and say, this is I, this is me, therefore this can be mine. If you have such delusion, which the Buddha calls self-delusion or sakkariti, then the Buddha said, suffering will arise. Because this five aggregate of form and mind become deluded, and it developed the delusion to grasp and to cling. Through this delusion, you think you exist. The personality will arise, and he said, you want to own things, you want to have things. That's why the greed for things, the selfishness, the lust, the craving, the possessiveness, they will all simultaneously arise. And because you think you exist, when people say bad things about you, or when things go wrong, you felt offended or mistreated, you develop emotional negativity, anger, hatred, violence, envy and jealousy. All these are the evil roots of hatred. Just now the first one was greed. Then the last one is delusion. When you become deluded, the Buddha said, you have fear, you have worry, you have anxiety because you don't understand his teaching. When you don't understand his teaching, you don't understand life, the Buddha said, and you don't know how to live. And when you don't know how to live, you are being heedless, the Buddha said. The heedless are as if dead. There is no spiritual opportunity for you. You are completely written off. So that's the first part, importance of cultivating Buddha Dhamma. So if you don't want to confront all this reality and be afflicted, it is important that you cultivate this teaching. Develop the clear understanding of what the Buddha Dhamma is all about. What the Buddha is trying to teach us is very simple. It is very scientific. It's part and parcel of nature's law that governs life and existence. The essence of his teaching is just this Four Noble Truth. And as Buddhists, we are indeed very fortunate, very lucky, in the sense that the Buddha is a very unique living being. At that time when he was born, 2,600 years ago, he was called the Sammasambuddha, just like how we chanted. He got this nine great virtues. He is not only enlightened, he is fully enlightened, perfect in all of the cultivation of wisdom and virtue. And to have such a great being to be our teacher and guide, we should have a lot of gratitude and faith and respect towards the Buddha. That's how you develop the spiritual understanding, the spiritual faculty. And because of his great enlightenment, which he has cultivated, he has taken aeons and aeons to cultivate them. 3¾ Asakang Kaya Kapas. He was able to summarize to us all of life, both the mundane and the supramundane, into just four essential truths, which he called the Four Noble Truths. And these are called Noble Truths because when you understand this truth, when you penetrate this truth to your meditative awakening, you will become noble ones or enlightened ones. And that enlightenment will liberate your mind so that you can confront the First Noble Truth reality that I spoke about just now with confidence, with understanding, and you will not face any problem. You will not be afflicted. You can stand above. You can rise above. And life becomes very different. Instead of developing suffering, misery, sorrow, and lamentation, leading to all the negative tendency that can be very traumatic, that can bring about a lot of suffering, sorrow and lamentation and remorse. Life take a turn and become meaningful, beautiful. Because when you can develop that type of understanding to be free from all suffering, such a life is very, very beautiful, very difficult to come by. Most of the time you will be very calm, very peaceful, very heedful, aware, little or no thought. There is nothing in this world that can make you worry, that can make you feel insecure or unhappy, because you can accept the reality of what happened through your wisdom. You can confront life beautifully. And your mind that is trained, that is heedful, that is aware, that has the Dhamma, is so beautiful. It's full of peace, full of tranquility, full of stillness and silence within, full of clarity. And all these are the great benefits of developing the understanding of his teaching. That's why now we come to the benefits of cultivating the Buddha Dhamma. After you understand the importance, we will go into the great benefits. The Buddha's teaching, like I explained just now, is about the secret of life. When you understand, you know how to live, then you don't have to suffer anymore. Then life becomes beautiful. I only expounded to you the First Noble Truth. That's why you need the other three to make you understand life. The Buddha said, all of suffering that arise via what he has proclaimed in the First Noble Truth come from only one thing, sakkayaditi, self-delusion, born of ignorance, that condition you to have craving. Craving is the type of desire, a type of grasping, clinging, holding on to things that you deludedly believe belongs to you. Or you think you are real. That's a self-delusion. And by induction, you believe people whom you see, you can perceive as your loved ones, your children, your spouse, your brothers and sisters, your parents, your good friend, your colleagues. All this, through your self-delusion, you will grasp and cling. And because of craving, suffering arises. Because when you think you own them, they belong to you, related to you. When the reality of old age, sickness and death sets in, separation sets in, when they become afflicted, because of your attachment, your craving, your clinging, you will also be afflicted. Similarly, when you deludedly believe this human form and mind is what you are, then you will worry about this physical body when it grows old, when it gets sick, about to die. That's why the fear of it getting old, getting sick and die is such traumatic reality. That living being find it very difficult to actually come to terms with this reality. So now that you know the realities of life that can condition suffering, the First Noble Truth is the Noble Truth that talks about suffering. The Buddha never said life is suffering. Please don't get him wrong. He said there is a noble truth that warns you about the prevalence of suffering when you confront the realities of life and existence without wisdom, without his Dhamma understanding and teaching. And that is the first noble truth. He never said life is suffering. Life can be very beautiful. That's why he said enlightenment in the here and the now is possible. Suffering need not be. And that is the third noble truth. So knowing what the first noble truth is and the cause behind, which is the second noble truth, you will know how to manage your life better. Because when you have this Dhamma understanding, you can investigate into it and find out for yourself whether what the Buddha proclaimed is the truth or not. You put it to test. You put it to investigation. And because it is the truth, it will stand up to investigation. Then when it stands up to investigation, you tell yourself, my life, why should I allow it to go this way, to become so miserable? I can have a choice. I can choose to be a better person. If I cultivate this Buddha Dhamma, it can transform me in a very, very great way. And it can bring about great benefits to my life. It can transform me to understand life in a very different way. I will have right view with regards to all the laws that govern life and existence. And I will know how to abide to this law. That's why I will not go and create conflict with this nature's law. And because of that, you will start to straighten your view and change your understanding of life, your approach to life, and the way you act, speak, and think, and live life. That's how from the heedless way, with all the delusion of greed, hatred, and delusion, the three evil roots, you can now transform and develop the understanding to straighten your view, to develop the wholesome mind, to train your mind to be heedful, peaceful, and to develop the understanding not to arise the evil roots, because they are the root of all evil. They will make you evil. So having that understanding, you will transform, your understanding will transform you to have such beautiful personality and character. That's how from the right view, which is the first of the Noble Eightfold Path factor, it will condition you to have right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood. Because when you are mindful and heedful, you can see your mental intention behind all this. If there is no more evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, then it becomes wholesome, it becomes right. The absence of evil is right. Don't try to be right. Because when you try to be right, you can be trapped with your own conditioning. Because there is only right according to you. But if you are incapable of negativity, free of your evil roots in your mental intention, then you are automatically right and beautiful. The absence of evil is good. That is the real understanding. That's why the Buddha's advice, three very important advice, under Dhammapada verse 183, Sabba papasa akaranang kusalesa upasampadan secitta pariyodhapanang etang buddhana sasana. Sakyamuni Buddha say, all Buddhas, the fully enlightened one, when they arise, they will give you the same advice. And this is what his teaching is all about. Based on the understanding of the nature's law that governs life and existence, the first thing you must do is you must have right view with regards to the very powerful nature's law of karma, he said. This law of karma is so powerful, you reap what you sow. Do good begets good, do evil begets evil. And all living beings, the Buddha said, you have to reflect every day, the five daily contemplation, the last one. We are all born of karma. add to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. And we are what we are because of our karma. So if you don't take care of karma, your life will fall. Then how do we take care of karma? The Buddha said, very simple. The three advice come about. All evil, he said, you have to avoid. How do you avoid evil? You must understand the essential Dhamma of his teaching, what constitutes evil. That's how you start the cultivation. Then you realize in the teaching, the Buddha mentioned the three evil roots, greed, hatred, and delusion, or the three poison. When you have them in your heart, it will kill you spiritually because they are poison. So spiritual death is worse than physical death, actually. Because with this evil root, it will make you evil. So when you understand that the evil roots are the root of all evil, then you will understand why the Buddha asked you to keep your precept. Like just now when you do your puja, you renew your five precepts. Who are the people who violate this precept? They are people that has the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. Take for example the first precept you chant. Panatipata viramani sikapadang samadhiyami. What does it mean? The Buddha said you undertake the training rule because he knows you cannot completely, initially, keep this precept. So he said you undertake the training rule to abstain, try not to kill or harm fellow living being. So if you reflect and contemplate and investigate, who kill, who harm, what type of person will do this? And then you will come to this great discovery, and this is how you link to his teaching. A selfish person is capable of harming people, deceiving people, and even go to the extent of killing people. The other one is angry and violent people, also capable of killing and harming people. Then the last one is deluded people, out of fear, out of insecurity, out of anger, emotion, and frustration. They also can do all this. So all the three evils of greed, hatred, and delusion are there. That's why you have to avoid all evil, means keep this precept. Not to kill, not to harm, not to deceive, not to cheat, not to be what they call lustful, means you abide by the third precept. You abstain from sexual misconduct. You develop what they call faithfulness, the marriage trust that you have committed yourself to, you cannot violate them. Otherwise, it brings about downfall. It brings about destruction to a happy family unit. It can cause so much suffering to your loved one, your spouse, your children, your in-laws, and all those that have relationship with you. Then the fourth precept is about lying. Harsh speech, deceiving, cheating, and all those things. Trying to conceal a fact because you're scared when people come to know, it will lead to suffering, misery. Then the last one is when you partake in toxicant, it will actually have a lot of repercussion because when you drink, partake in toxicant, which is liquor, alcohol, or even drugs, it will bring about a tremendous lowering of your consciousness. It will affect your conscious mind. It will make you heedless. When you are drunk, you become tipsy, you lost memory, you lost consciousness intermittently. And a person who has the brain affected by intoxicant or drugs, they can actually break all the four precepts above through their heedlessness and delusion. So this is all the explanation that the Buddha gave. You have to avoid all evil, means you keep your precept. Then the second advice is kusalesa upasamadan. All of the wholesomeness, kusala, actions and speech and thought process. Wherever there is condition to do, you must do. That's why you must develop virtue, wholesomeness, kindness, generosity, sincerity, gratitude, respect for people. This is how you cultivate right thought leading to right speech. Pleasant, gentle, and good speeches that bring about love, harmony, understanding. Not the one that lead to conflict, argument, misunderstanding, and like backbiting and all those things. Then appropriate right action like generosity, respect, contentment. Very appropriate type of service to community, to help people. These are all right actions that you can do. Then with this understanding, you can have right livelihood. You can become a blessing to all of humanity and mankind. You can contribute in a very great way through your understanding, through your generosity, through your goodness, and through your kindness. That's how you will grow. You will become different. You will become very virtuous, character-wise, personality-wise. And when you do that, you accumulate a lot of great benefits. The Buddha said, these are merits that you will develop. Keeping precept is merit. Listening to the Dhamma, cultivating Dhamma understanding, then straightening your view. These are meritorious actions. Then you come to the temple. When you go through the puja, you go through the Dhamma sharing, you can cultivate all of the 10 meritorious actions that the Buddha mentioned in the teaching. When you pay respect, reverential salutation to the Triple Gem, to those that are worthy of respect, it is a meritorious action. When you make loving kindness meditation and radiate this love and metta, you develop generosity. Then when you offer building fund donation, it is generosity in action. When you offer dana, it's generosity in action. When you contribute to all the various Dhamma activity that can bring about benefits, like printing of Dhamma books and all those things that are appropriate, it will bring about a lot of wholesomeness. These are meritorious actions that can build up your karmic nature. Then when you have these merits, your life will improve, the Buddha said. It will bring about tremendous change in your life. You will find that all of a sudden, you will have better energy field because of the meritorious action that you have done. After you listen to Dhamma, it's a meritorious action. You straighten your view, it's a meritorious action. Then you rejoice, sadhu, 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 with the offering and whatever goodness and wholesomeness that arise. It's a meritorious action. Then the closing puja, we share merits, we transfer merits. These are all meritorious actions. The last one is to be of service to community, to the Buddhist society and all those things, to serve their welfare for the benefit of many. This is also a very strong meritorious action. Then, apart from merits, the Buddha said, after you avoid all your good, you have to meditate, he said. You have to purify your mind to develop the wisdom and the understanding to confront life. Otherwise, with merits alone, you can have better life, but you are not free from suffering. Just like a very wealthy person or a very, what they call, blessed type of person, they may be very successful in their materialistic career. They have good life, good family unit, good financial support. They can get what they want without having much problem. Relatively much better life. Good dwelling. Whatever that they need, they have the means to have it. They can travel and all those things. But then as you grew older and older, as old age, sickness and death approaches, your money cannot help you much. Maybe it can give you a means to appoint and see better doctors, private doctors and all those things. But money cannot buy you health in the sense that you cannot exchange it. So during this, during such situation, you need to have wisdom, that Buddha Dhamma understanding, to help you confront. That's why you must purify your mind, train your mind to develop this very, very important understanding that the Buddha wants you to penetrate. He said you have to train your mind, develop the mindfulness within, so that you are ever mindful to cultivate this Buddha Dhamma, this understanding, so that you can insight into all of phenomena, the three universal characteristics of impermanence, their suffering nature, their reality, and ultimately, because they are impermanent, they lead to suffering. It is empty, it is non-self, it is not you. Not until you can penetrate this reality of life and existence, the universal characteristic. This is what meditation is about, vipassana. We is the three characteristics of nature. Passana is to insight into it. So the moment you penetrate this, you will come to understand very clearly that this so-called human being, this is not what you are. The so-called five aggregate of form am I, this is not what you are. They are all empty. They have this universal characteristics of condition arising, impermanent. You grasp and cling and want things your way, suffering will arise. And because they are impermanent, because of condition arising entity or phenomena, causal phenomena are all impermanent. Whatever that is within the conditioned world has this universal characteristic. And because it is impermanent, subject to change, it's not a permanent, unchanging entity where you can hold on to, cling on to, and grasp onto and say, this is me, this is I. Therefore, it can be eternally like that. All of physical form goes the way of nature. All of elements go the way of nature. You got no control. It's not a permanent, unchanging entity. So if you cannot penetrate this reality and develop this Dhamma wisdom, you cannot confront life. You cannot be at peace with life. That's why the third part, which is meditation, bring about tremendous benefit. It makes your life complete. Otherwise, it's still incomplete. Materialistic success is only for the materialistic life. For the spiritual aspect, the supramundane aspect of living, you cannot touch it until you have developed the penetrative understanding of the Buddha Dhamma. Not until you meditate and train your mind to be more and more heedful, more and more mindful, less and less heedless, means the thinking slow down, then finally cease to be. Then you will realize enlightenment, which is called Nibbana, or the cessation of form and mind. Then from there, you realize there are so many benefits that come with training the mind. First, immediately after you train, the mind is peaceful, quiet, mindful, have this inner peace, which is the inner tranquility and stillness of mind. The mind that is still, silent, peaceful, without thought, is so beautiful. Because without thought, there is no projection of thought into the future or to recall the unhappy past, the scars of memory. When you project into the future, you create fear, worry, anxiety, and insecurity because these are not reality, but the thought project and give it power. So without thought, there is no fear, no worry, no anxiety, no sorrow, no lamentation because there is no word, no concept. no conditioning, no views and no opinion. It's just the true state of mind that is perfectly peaceful still. That's why when you meditate, you train your mind to develop this ability to have the spiritual faculty, especially sati, which is mindfulness, leading to its stability to develop samadhi. When you have sati and samadhi, you can see things as they are, the reality. You don't see with your memory, with your mental conditioning, because your memory is an accumulation of all of your good and bad experiences. And most of it are your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your insecurity, your happy and unhappy moments in life. And most of it are your phobia, your unhappy past that you don't like to recall. But they are all accumulated within your memory. So when you act according to this memory, you are acting out of insecurity, fear, worry, anxiety, your mental conditioning. You cannot act that way. You cannot live life that way. If you do it that way until you are so habitual, then you become heedless. That's why you can develop suffering very fast. You attach, you cling, you grasp to your delusion very fast. You need to act differently. The memory can be there. The accumulation can be there, but you have to be like the computer. You only access it when you need it. Random access memory. When you need, you retrieve. You don't need, you don't retrieve. You use it. That's why computer is not emotional. They cannot get frustrated, angry. They just execute. But you don't be like a computer. Your computer is a robot. You need to develop wisdom. When you cultivate Buddha Dhamma, that Buddha Dhamma will give you wisdom and understanding. That's why this wisdom and understanding come from the direct seeing without the thought. Then with this direct seeing, you insight into phenomena and you see truth, see reality without the words. Then you understand nature's law, how it conditions the human mind into negativity through delusion, self-delusion. That condition your evil roots, your mental hindrance. Then you start to understand how you function as a human being. Then through this understanding, you transform. You develop the ability to have inner peace through the training of the mind, leading to inner well-being. Because when you radiate love and metta, you have inner well-being. May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy. Well and happy. When you feel the real well-being and happiness within your own form and mind, your entire being, each and every cell within this physical body and mind, they become so positive, so beautiful, and the vibration bring about so much well-being inside. This is how you raise your immune system. This is how you can recover from your sickness and disease, even cancer and other things. Because all of this disease, they come about through stress, through fear, worry, anxiety, through heedlessness, through suffering. These are all negative energy fields that can cause yourself to mutate and bring your immune system down. That's why you become miserable, afflicted, sorrowful, very sick. So meditation has a lot of benefits. Cultivating the Buddha Dhamma has a lot of benefit. It brings about inner peace leading to inner well-being. Then because your mind is peaceful without thought, there is clarity. Then you can see things as they are. Then you can accept the reality. You don't stir your mind. You don't react. You don't create thought projection. You don't bring about all those non-beneficial thinking. You must understand what is thought and you must know how to use thought. Thought is your tool given to you by the divine, the eternal nature to use, to live life. But if you don't know how to use, if the user of thought is deluded, then thought can work negatively. It's just like you use a tool. T-O-O-L, let's say a knife. You can use it to shape fruits, cut vegetable, cut bread, and do the thing that you want, carving and all those things. But if you are so deluded, you use that knife to cut yourself, harm yourself, hit out and others, attack others. That is the wrong way of using that tool, causing suffering to you and yourself. Human beings' problem is because you don't have the Buddha Dhamma. Precisely, you are doing that to yourself and others using your wrong thought, your negative thought, your anger, your hatred, your jealousy, your sorrow and your lamentation, your insecurity. You make yourself so miserable, so full of unhappiness, to the extent that it becomes a cocoon of thought. Then because you think and think and think until the evil roots become so habitual, so powerful and so strong, that it's like a tape recorder, keep on playing. The more you think, the more anger you have, the more frustration and remorse you have. That's how they become depressed. And they are caught in the cocoon and they cannot come out. What they call vicious cycle of this evil or wrong thought. That is the wrong way of using thought. Then you hit out at others and make everybody unhappy, lack of peace. You cause so much negativity. Your energy field is so negative because of your anger, your hatred, your deep unhappiness. This is not the way to live life. This is suffering, the Buddha said. All these are wrong thoughts. So, thought is for you to use appropriately. What are the purpose of thought? For you to study and learn technical things, scientific things. Things that are very logical, you use thought. But when it comes to emotion, spiritual, you cannot use thought. If you use thought, your thought is egoic. The egoic mind is there. The personality is there. That's why you have to go beyond thought. That's why the Buddha said the enlightenment, which is sanditiko, the Dhamma, can be realized in the here and the now, is akaliko. What is akaliko? Beyond thought, beyond mind. That's why he said you must meditate and silent and go beyond thought projection. You must develop sati, stabilize it to become samadhi. When you can see things as they are without the movement of thought, there is peace, there is clarity. That's why the benefits of meditation is inner peace leading to inner well-being, leading to clarity of mind. Then when you see things very clearly, you know how to act, you know how to move, then you develop wisdom. And when you have such a mind, you can become very, very beautiful. You can be a blessing to many. You can sleep very well. You can study very well. You can work very well. You are very efficient. And people will like you. That's why these are all the great benefits. Then not only you develop all these merits to change your life, because when you have a lot of merits, these are like your spiritual wealth. You can invoke the power of merits for causes and conditions for you to realize whatever good wishes that you want. That's why sometimes, like the Buddha said, you reap what you sow. If you are generous, generosity will bring forth wealth to you. That's why life after life when you come, you will have that wealth. You look at Ananda Pindika. You look at Ananda Krishnan, you look at Warren Buffett, and even Bill Gates. How come they are so wealthy when they come? Because this life they do the same, they donate. They are very generous. That's what the Dhamma is all about. You reap what you sow. Do good begets good, do evil begets evil. So when you start to see this, you have to develop the faith to follow this teaching and try to be generous to help people within your means. If you can't, then you provide service, you radiate love and metta, you contribute through your whatever hard work and all those things. And when it brings about the causes and conditions for these merits to come about as friction, you will see your life taking a turn. Compared to a person who is deluded, every day getting angry, unhappy, lament and remorse over all these things and blaming yourself, blaming others, these are all non-tangible negative action. It will not bring about change. It will make you more miserable. But what if you understand this teaching and decide, from now onward, I will keep my precept. I will talk to people nicely. I will arise the right thought, the right speech, means pleasant, gentle and good speeches. Kind, pleasant and gentle speeches. I will treat people differently. I will talk to them differently. My children, my spouse, my loved one. If you start to develop all this, I can tell you, your life will change tremendously. Then all of your action is no more about selfishness benefiting you. Your anger, your emotion to scold your children, no more. To tell off your spouse and parent, no more. You will have love. You will feel them differently. You will talk to them very nicely. If I have caused you any misunderstanding or karmic negativity or harm, I would like to ask for forgiveness. I really, really very sorry, because at that time I was ignorant. I don't have this understanding. Can you forgive me? If you say this to people, they will definitely react differently. They will actually see the change in you. Then they not only accept you, they will have this type of reciprocal approach. They say, it's okay. Me too is at fault, it's not you. But if you every day maintain the hatred, the anger and the dislike, they can feel you. And they also don't want to talk to you. Then every time you open your mouth, your speech is very hurting, very negative, the habitual tendency. So these are all evil roots, wrong speech, wrong action, wrong thought. Nothing to do with the Noble Eightfold Path. So I come back to the third Noble Truth and the fourth Noble Truth. I haven't finished. Once you know what is the first Noble Truth, the second Noble Truth, which is the cause of arising or suffering, you will know how to manage your life better. Then because the Buddha said, there is a third Noble Truth that tells you very clearly, suffering need not be, enlightenment in the here and the now, Nibbana can be realized. Cessation of suffering is possible. That is a very positive promise to you. And this Noble Truth is very true, can be realized in the here and the now. Then you have to move on to the fourth Noble Truth. The Buddha said, if you cultivate this Noble Eightfold Path, it will lead to the end of all suffering. This is the meditation. This is how you train your mind to have the spiritual faculty of Sada, Virya, Sati, Samadhi and Panya. Then from there, stabilize your faith and develop the understanding of who the Buddha is, how special he is and his teaching. Then from there, it will drive you to meditate. That is what Virya is all about, spiritual zeal. The faith will bring about the spiritual zeal, second spiritual faculty. Then you will cultivate. And when you cultivate, the third spiritual faculty of Sati will be there. You stabilize it, it becomes Samadhi. Then with Sati and Samadhi, the last spiritual faculty of wisdom, Panya, will arise. And this is how meditation can be developed. And it's so simple. Nothing complicated. I have with me here some books. Afterwards, you can have it. It's for free distribution. If you want to learn meditation, this blue book. If you already know some meditation, this one will help. This is based on a talk I gave in Klang, Bhavana, Samatha Vipassana Bhavana. This one is understanding the meditation as taught by the Buddha. Yeah? Then this one is a very good book. Yeah? This one is based on a seminar in Bangkok, international seminar, organized by the World Buddhist University and World Fellowship of Buddhists. I was one of the speakers there in August 2013. And the topic was life management via meditation. So I changed the topic to success in life via meditation following the Dhamma way, means the Buddha Dhamma. If you read through, you will understand very clearly, and it has a lot of good Dhamma understanding within. And I hope it can make you change your approach to life, because you have this good opportunity to encounter the Buddha Dhamma within the Buddha Sasana, and you are born as a human being. You have the good condition. So if you understand the importance and great benefits of cultivating this Buddha Dhamma, you should actually immediately, don't hesitate anymore, put forth the very important, what they call, intention to cultivate and move this way. Like the Buddha said before his parinibbana, strive on with heedfulness. Do not be heedless anymore. Then this book come about because many people who went with me and those people there who actually attended the seminar and heard the talk, they approached me and talked to me and asked for my seminar paper. So because of that, finally, with the help of Kayanamitas, we managed to print this book for free distribution. You can have them. Then I will read to you one email, which was based on the person who requested it. So initially, when I wrote this email out, I just sent the seminar paper to one of the seminar participants. She's a Thai, I think. The email is Dara, CRLL, I don't know stand for what, at yahoo.com. I say, Dear Kun Dara, means they address a person by Kun. If you are Teo, they address you Kun Teo. So this lady is Dara, so we address her as Kun Dara. I say, as per your request, forward here with is a soft copy of the talk delivered by me at the above mentioned international seminar for your sharing. This was August 14, 2013. Then I copied it to some Kayanamita so that they can also have the seminar paper. Then there are a few Kayanamitas who wrote back to me, and based on this, we decide to actually reprint it as a book form for free distribution. So I read to you this email. This is one of them. Her name is Joyce. I think most of you all know her. She wrote to me, she said, Dear Brother Teo, after having read your seminar speech at the World Buddhist University, the first thing that struck my mind was, how can we not see the connection of the link of the five aggregates of form and mind within the Four Noble Truths? The Noble Eightfold Path, the Dependent Origination, and the Five Universal Law, especially the Law of Karma, which you have consistently talked about in your sharing. The content in this talk is most profound for me, and now seeing with more clarity, allow me to recognize why a stable mindfulness is so important. And I guess in a conditioned world, the six sense doors are just too much to fathom on the unreality of it all. I remember asking a question when I was in Bohinyana Monastery in Melbourne 2 years ago. How can we stop our thought, which seems to make quantum leaps at times, and before we know it, the thought has already made a story out of its own delusion? The answer are here in your seminar paper. We only need to be mindful from moment to moment. We need to train our mind to be ever mindful of the present moment. To understand better, one needs to be able to connect all this to the three universal characteristics of nature, which is anicchang, dukkang, anatta, or impermanent, leading to suffering, and the empty non-self nature, which we hold, cling, grasp dearly, which ultimately keep us in the samsaric world of suffering. Thus, a solid foundation of the five spiritual faculties, especially our daily devotional practice and bhavana or meditation, to gain insight into the truth with understanding and wisdom, will be the only sure way towards liberation. I truly appreciate the effort and the time that you have put in to give an overall view of the Dhamma. Each time I read again, I tend to understand with better clarity. More important for me, to be able to connect the link better, which is where my weakness is, and to stay with the moment as much as possible and to see things as they are. That is a great challenge. To gain and benefit from the content in this talk, one has to walk the spiritual path with mindfulness, heedfulness, and diligently with conviction and faith. Without a doubt, this talk will be of immense benefit to those who have heard and read it. And this will be my constant checklist in my spiritual journey. I truly rejoice with you and thank you for sending this email to me. Greatly appreciated this wonderful sharing. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. May the blessing of the Triple Gem keep you safe, healthy and happy always. With metta, Joyce. So this was the email. Eh? And because of that, I replied. I said, "Hey, Joyce, thank you so much for your below feedback. And since you are also able to benefit so much from the talk, I had therefore decided to forward my above recent talk, which is cut and paste as below, for sharing with Kayanamitas too, so that they may also benefit from it." You see, at that time, Joyce only joined my class for less than 1 year, if I'm not wrong, 1 or 2 years. And yet, she can understand it so clearly and so well. So I don't see any problem for most of you, especially most of you all have been SJBA members for quite a while. Then there was another reply from Joyce. She said, "Yes, it is a great idea. And it will definitely benefit our Kayanamita in some way or another. It will be very useful as reference footnotes to reaffirm the teaching and the link for clarification too on the profound teachings of Lord Buddha Mahasadhu. Thank you for your sharing with Metta, Joyce." So with this, I will end my today's talk. So later on when you free, you can collect this book. I will leave it here. You don't worry. If you need some more, you let us know. We may still have them. Okay. If you got any Q&A or question, now you can ask while I have a drink. Thank you for your patience to listen. Okay.
Thank you, Brother Teo, for expounding the importance of great benefits of cultivating the Buddha Dharma so skillfully to us this morning. Anybody has any questions for Brother Teo? Yeah, we're doing a recording, so if you can come forward and ask us a question.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Brother Teo. My question is about wisdom. Okay, along the way in my life, I come to realize that understanding the Dhamma and practicing the Dhamma, that is wisdom. But I would also like to hear from Brother Teo, if you could kindly explain to us what wisdom is about. Thank you.
Okay, thank you so much for the question. This is a very good question. Not easy for people to answer. What is wisdom? If I can tell you what is wisdom, then everybody can become enlightened. Understand? But the only thing is I can share with you what I understand and realize. Because this wisdom cannot be taught. Understand? I cannot teach it to you. I can share it with you. I can tell you how it can happen. How it can come about. How it can transform the living being. But like the Buddha said, he can only show you the way. Understand? You have to walk the path yourself. That's why under the teaching, the Four Noble Truths is the essence of the Buddha's teaching. Upon his awakening, after his enlightenment, not long after the 7 weeks, he went ahead and looked for the 5 ascetics that left him. And when he met them, the first teaching he expounded was the Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, the first sermon, the first turning of the Dhamma wheel. And that teaching is none other than the Four Noble Truths. And within that Four Noble Truths, the Buddha said he turned it 3 times. Even he himself as a bodhisattva then, he has to understand the Four Noble Truths in its 3 turning in that manner before he can develop the wisdom, before he can proclaim that he is the enlightened being. So this 3 turning is very important. They bring forth 3 types of wisdom, the Buddha mentioned. And now I will answer your question. What constitutes wisdom? The first turning, the Buddha said, the Four Noble Truths realized by him is the summary of all his understanding. Then he proclaimed this truth, like just now I mentioned, the first Noble Truth the Buddha proclaimed. This is the first Noble Truth of suffering. There are 8 realities that can bring about suffering when you don't have the wisdom. They are birth, old age, sickness and death, separation from loved ones, prized possession and the thing that you believe you own. When you are with people whom you don't like, when your expectations are not met, when you cannot get what you want. And finally, he said, when you deludedly grasp and cling on to the 5 aggregate of form and mind, then suffering will arise. Because these are grasping aggregate with delusion. So he just proclaimed the first Noble Truth. Then the second Noble Truth. There is a cause behind all suffering. And the cause is craving, born of self-delusion. Then the third Noble Truth. Cessation of suffering is possible. Nibbana can be realized in the here and the now. Suffering need not be. Then the fourth Noble Truth is that there is a path, namely the Noble Eightfold Path. If living being cultivate and realize it, it will lead to the end of all suffering. He just proclaimed this Four Noble Truth. So first turning is hearing the truth. If upon hearing you can become enlightened, means you have cultivated before in the distant past, then your nature just awakened. Like what happened to Kondanya, immediately he became a Sotapan before even the first sermon was completed. So they call it Suttamayapanya, first turning wisdom, hearing the Sutta, the discourse of the Buddha, then you awaken. So this is the first turning. Then after you have heard, let's say, you are not so developed as those monks or cultivated Dhamma practitioner who has cultivated long, long before this, many, many lives. Then you need to go for second turning, the Buddha said. Second turning, the Buddha just mentioned, you need to reflect, contemplate and inquire into what he has proclaimed. Then he gives you 4 hints, he said. First Noble Truth, he said, this Noble Truth of suffering is to be understood. You have to understand it. If you inquire, why did the Buddha say that? Then how can I understand it, especially the final summary? It will bring forth the stability of understanding. So the Buddha said, as you reflect, you contemplate, it's just like you study in the school. After the class, the lecture, if it's a new topic or new subject, normally you couldn't get head or tail. Then you come back, you read the notes, you read the text, you go for reference in the library, or you discuss with friends and all things. Then as you reflect and contemplate, you stabilize your understanding. Then you assimilate them in. As you assimilate all this understanding, it will start to develop a more stable type of understanding. And the Buddha called it Chintamaya Panya, second turning wisdom. Then the second overthrow, the Buddha said, this cause of suffering, which is craving, is to be abandoned or severed. Again, that is the second turning hint. The third noble truth is the best. He said, this cessation of suffering, which is nibbana, is to be realized. And that's why I say, wisdom, I cannot teach you. You have to realize and awaken to it. But I can tell you what is it. I can share with you what is it, just like what the Buddha said. He can show you the way, but you have to walk the path yourself. You have to awaken yourself. Otherwise, it's only words. Understand? When you can insight into the characteristics of nature, impermanent, leading to suffering and empty nature or non-self nature, then wisdom will automatically arise. But there is an awakening, understand? And you can try your very best using your conscious mind or rational mind to try to understand, but there is no way. Unless you go through that transformation, it's very difficult for you to understand. It's just like you have not tasted sugar before. Then people tell you, oh, sugar, you put in coffee, one cup, 2 cubes, it is quite sweet. 3 cubes, very sweet. But you never tasted before. You can only imagine what sweet is. There is no way you can understand what it is because it's described to you in a form of words. And the word is never the truth, the thing. So Dhamma is the same. Wisdom is to be realized. It is not a rigid knowledge. Cannot be learned. Can only be realized and awakened to. Then the fourth noble truth is even more strongly worded as compared to the first noble truth. The fourth noble truth, the Buddha said, this noble eightfold path, which is the path that leads to the end of suffering, is to be cultivated. See? The first noble truth you understand enough, no need to cultivate. But this noble eightfold path, you must put it into practice, cultivate, until it becomes a part of you. Otherwise, you cannot deal with life. So that's why this is a noble truth. That can lead to awakening. That's why you need to cultivate it. So this is the second turning wisdom. Then the third turning wisdom is, the Buddha mentioned all of the four noble truths, you have to awaken to it. It's about enlightenment. Because this third turning is about meditation. He called it Bhavana Maya Panya, wisdom born of Bhavana, which is meditation. So Bhavana Maya Panya, the moment you go through meditation and develop that type of wisdom, you sure enlighten one. That's why under the third turning, the Buddha said, the first noble truth, this noble truth of suffering has already been understood. Means what? The Buddha has understood what suffering is, the cause of its arising, the cessation, and the path that lead to the cessation. That's why it's a enlightenment. When they are able to actually go through the third turning, they really have the profound enlightenment. So like the second noble truth, the Buddha said, this cause of suffering, which is craving, has already been severed. Then the third noble truth, Nibbana has already been realized. Then the fourth noble truth, this noble eightfold path has already been cultivated, perfected. That is the third turning wisdom. And third turning wisdom is born of meditation. That's why you will awaken. Okay? So these are the three phases of wisdom that you will go through. Then in the practice, it's different. The Buddha called it Pariyatti, Patipatti, and Pativeda. These are the three phases of Dhamma. These are not the wisdom part. Pariyatti means the learning of the teaching. When you learn to develop the understanding of what the Buddha Dhamma is all about, that is pariyatti. Then after you have learned, the Buddha said, you must put it to practice in daily life. And that is patipatti. Then after you have developed the ability to cultivate and to reward you for your hard work, the fruition of your hard work, Pativeda will arise. A Pativeda is the most beautiful part of your life, the Buddha said. This is the third phase of Dhamma. After you have cultivated under Patipatti, the second phase, you awaken and become enlightened. Pativeda is the fruition of your practice, your hard work, the reward for what you have done. Then you can live the life of a noble one, an enlightened being. That is Pativedam. Then there are three levels of seeing that correspond with the wisdom and the delusion. The first one is mundane seeing with your mundane mind. The wisdom is not yet there. Then the second one is direct seeing with your silent mind, your true nature, your true mind. That is the wisdom part. Then the third one is the transcendental seeing, no more duality. So that's why you have all these three stages of seeing. And when you have the transcendental seeing, you become like a normal person again. No more right and wrong. You don't argue with people anymore. You see things as they are, truly. Things is just the way they are. Full stop. No more question. Okay? Thank you.
We got time for one short question. Anybody else?
Yeah, one more. Anybody want to ask? Anybody?
I guess Brother Teo explained very well. if not, then perhaps Brother Teo can lead us in the sharing of merits.
Oh, okay. So, let us recall to mind all of our wholesomeness that we have done today. Your hearing of the Dhamma, straightening of your view, your rejoicing, your reverential salutation, all of your whatever maintenance of the metta radiation, then how you train your mind to be peaceful, calm, how you develop your faith, your spiritual faculties, how you maintain your precepts, renew your precepts. Then how you develop all the other wholesomeness, dedication of merits and all the things. All these are very meritorious and we are going to share and transfer them to all beings. We start with the devas, Vivachan in Pali. If you understand, you can follow. Akasata ca bumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa cirang rakantu lokasasana eta wata caam ehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu Sabba sampati siddhiya idang menyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo Ipmina punyang kamina mami bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patiya sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha. Then we end. After that, you can collect your book if you are interested.
Shall we say three big sadhus to Brother Teo for sharing the Dhamma with us? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.